Shalom, brothers and sisters. May the Lord richly bless you. Just a short word of encouragement. We can go back to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Amen. So in this passage of scripture, there are four things mentioned. There's the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength. All these are part of a human being. And I was just looking around for the definition of the word heart. And there are two definitions. The first one says it's a hollow muscular organ that pumps blood through circulatory system by rhythmic contraction and dilation. Then the second one says the center of a person's emotion and thoughts, especially love, compassion, and loyalty, one's mood of feeling. Yeah. And then an example is, e.g., they had a change of heart, meaning a change of mood or feeling. But heart can also mean courage and enthusiasm. An example can be, don't lose heart in something. So, brothers and sisters, we are challenged, you and I, to walk, that any walk that is outside their heart is not effective. Any work that is outside the heart is not effective. Why? Because it is done without, let me put it this way. Salvation is a change of heart. Jeremiah 31:31. God is dealing with the heart, because when things come out of our love, our compassion, our loyalty, it is something that we'll do without an external motivation, without an external factor. That is why we are told that we don't go to heaven. We don't become Christians because we want to go to heaven. Why? Because that is a wrong reason for becoming a Christian. Because we are looking at the other side, hell. We are scared of hell, so we want to go to heaven. In other words, our being into heaven is not out of our will. We'll be in heaven for the sake of being in heaven. That is why God wants us to have a heart. So he wants us to do everything out of a heart. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. This is where Saul was being anointed a king. And you know the story where he was looking for his donkeys. They were lost. But God created a situation for him to meet the prophet. Now, I'll fast forward it to the time where he now came to see the prophet Samuel to inquire where the donkeys were. But things changed. It turned out that God was calling him. So now if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. So for him to rule Israel, he had to have a different heart. He was given a different heart. His heart had to change, because brothers and sisters, it's very difficult in this era. This is Laodicea and age to seriously serve the Lord, for one to set aside priorities, to set aside commitments at the expense of the gospel. It's very difficult because people want to make a living, and indeed, truly, life is very hard. People have to do running up and down. So for one to truly serve Christ in an era like this one, to deny yourself certain privileges, certain opportunities that this life has to offer, it means you love him from your heart. Because if you treasure this gospel, you will do everything from your heart. You will not mind what people think about you. You will not mind what people say, because you know what God has done. And when you have an experience with Christ, if he has done a work in your life, you will know what he's done. And you'll give all that you can to him. Now, another good example, we can say, whatever we do, the Lord looks on the heart. God, in whatever we do, is not so much concerned with the manifestation of our works, how big our works are, how visible they are, how attractive they are, or how inspiring they are to other people. God is looking at a heart, brothers and sisters. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is a story where God was telling Samuel to choose another king in place of Saul. And he went to Jesse's household to choose a son whom God had chosen. Now, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So brothers and sisters, the Lord looks on your heart. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The most important thing is your heart. If your heart is anchored in Christ, if your heart is anchored in Jehovah, that is what is important. Now remember, in this message, we can have head knowledge of the message itself. We can understand doctrines. You know, there are people who've grown up in the church. There are people who are born, for lack of a better term, in the end time message, so to say. Children who are born in this environment of worship, in the environment of prayer, in the environment of doctrine and teachings and revelation and understanding the Bible. And these people have seen the going ons, they've seen different people come. Maybe if the parents are ministers, for example, they'll see different people coming in their homes, different ministers, different missionaries, and they grow up in this setup. But now remember, these children can work exactly, they can know what to quote, they can know scriptures, they can know everything. But remember, as long as their heart is not touched, no matter how dedicated they are, no matter how committed they are, no matter how they look to be holy, how they look to be good children, but if their heart is not there, if their heart, the Lord has not converted their heart, you like it, you don't, we may be in for a rude shock. One day the children would disappoint us. So our prayer is that the Lord should touch these children. The Lord should impact his love, his life. I would prefer my child does not make it academically, but in Christ he should have a heart. In Christ the Lord should leave an impression. He should touch his life. He should touch him. He should build him. He should give him the love. He should have an experience of who Jesus is. It means he has everything. It means you have gained in this life. It means you've managed this life. You've managed your family well. Unlike educating our children, giving them all these things, but their life is not there. The desire is not there. The appetite for Christ is not there. The desire for Christ is not there. The hunger for God is not there. It doesn't matter how they look committed and dedicated. Our prayer should be, Lord, give them a heart to love you, my Father, to love you in whatever they do. That should be our prayer. That should be our focus. That should be our goal. So brothers and sisters, I urge you that let our children grow up in the fear of God. Let them grow up in the knowledge of God. Let them grow up with their heart. Let them have an experience, a one-on-one encounter with the true Savior. That is what will help them. Anything less, brothers and sisters, it's vanity. It won't work. Now, the heart has to be perfect all along for God to use us. Let that be our prayer, brothers and sisters. Let us pray that the Lord gives us perfection. Let us pray that whatever we have started in this journey, can you imagine, brothers and sisters, having received the good word, the revelation, then later on we may fall into some sin. We might fall. You know, it breaks my heart to receive news, this man whom you've seen for years, standing for Christ, being a banner, being an icon, but later on you hear stories that are so heartbreaking, stories that are so shocking. Now remember, brothers and sisters, some of these things which have happened to others can happen to us. There is no one who is immune. So it's for that reason that let us keep searching ourselves and checking ourselves, that at all times we are in the gospel. We examine ourselves. We ask the Lord, Lord, check my heart. check my faith. Let me not just do things out of tradition. Let me not be familiar with the message, with routines, with tradition, with activities, with programs. But let there be a true change of heart. Let me love you truly. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our cry. Let us ask the Lord every day, every moment, every challenge, every weakness, every sin that easily beset us. Let us cry to him. Let us not give up. You know, I came across this video. It was very shocking, brothers and sisters, of this man. I found him on YouTube. He's a preacher. You know, he usually targets these people who are into this gay lesbianism. The LGBTQ community, where they have parades. I don't know what they're called. Maybe it's festivals. So usually he goes to the street to share the gospel to them. And I was so surprised and shocked when a number of them, they were saying, you know, they said, you know what? There's no God. Because I grew up, some were saying, I grew up in a pastor's home. I grew up, my parents read the Bible. My parents did this. But my heart just could not follow. I couldn't. I tried. The other one was saying, I prayed and I tried to follow the Lord. And I did this and things didn't work out. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to learn something. Whatever you're doing as a child of God, whatever you are crying to the Lord to help you, whatever perfection we are seeking for, let us not give up. The Bible says, let's not be weary in doing good. In due course, the Lord will know. The Lord knows what is in your heart. So he will answer your prayer. As we finish up, let us look at 1 Kings. This is a very tragic story. It was a beautiful story, but all to end up in tragedy. 1 Kings chapter 11. This man, the wisest man who's ever lived, wrote part of the Bible. But 11, chapter, verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So brothers and sisters, it's very possible. Despite all the way the Lord is using you, the Lord is, has, you've been standing all this time. It's very possible that one day you can turn your back on it. So that is why we need to search ourselves. No one is indispensable. No one is above the word of God. No matter how the Lord uses us, let's check ourselves from time to time. Let's examine ourselves from time to time. Every work you do for God, it will prosper if it's from your heart. Second Chronicles, as we finish up, chapter 31. Second Chronicles 31, verse 21. As we finish up, blessed be the name of the Lord. 31:21. And in every work that he began, this is King Hezekiah. So 2 Chronicles 31:21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us strive to do all this work of the Lord, this beautiful work, this wonderful work. Let's do it with our heart. Let us ask the Lord to help us to have a heart, to have commitment, to love him, to love his work. So may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.